Thank you, Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, August the 12th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sithandekile Mhlanga. Here are our top stories this evening. The state-owned Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation fires close to 300 workers, including journalists, and shut down Iskweru offices that house the Voice of Zimbabwe radio station.
Well, I think it's a sad development for the media sector, coming as it does when we are all talking about the need to grow the industry.
The Zimbabwe Republic Police deploys anti-riot officers at the Harare offices of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions in a move the ZCTU believes is meant to intimidate them from organizing street protests.
At one stage, they were parked just in front of the door. The truck was parked in front of our main entrance.
And the Harare City Council continues to demolish houses it says were constructed illegally. These and much more coming up. Stay tuned. The state-owned Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation today fired close to 300 workers, including journalists, and shut down Iskweru offices that house the Voice of Zimbabwe radio station. Some of the affected employees who did not want to go on record told Studio 7 they were issued with letters of dismissal today and told to return all company equipment. Sources say the somber and gloomy mood engulfed the ZBC headquarters as some fired employees openly wept. Other news organizations, including the Newsday, Daily News, Chronicle, and the Herald, have also fired dozens of employees and reporters in the past days, taking advantage of a Supreme Court ruling that made it easy for employers to terminate workers. To date, labor unions say about 20,000 employees have lost their jobs in the past 4 weeks. Reporter Tato Machone reached Mr. Zimbabwe Director Nhlanhla Ngwenya, who says they regret the mass termination of journalists.
Well, I think it's a sad development for the media sector, coming as it does when we are all talking about the need to grow the industry, the need for media diversity, plurality, and so forth and so on. So if we are in the struggle for media diversity, and in that process we experience such kind of developments where the media personnel is being housed, then it has fundamental, profound effect on diversity, media diversity, the quality of information that you get. Because what we are not clear of is the process, the procedure through which these people are sort of cherry-picked from the media houses. Is there a process, a clear process, a transparent process, or there is actually potential abuse of the Supreme Court ruling to settle scores within the media houses themselves? Why I'm saying this is because some of the names that we have seen losing jobs are actually prolific writers. We have seen those that have written headlines also losing their jobs. So we're wondering what sort of procedure and mechanism they are using.
Now, what do you think could be a solution to this? Maybe a short-term solution while you're still waiting for a new bill to be passed on?
The new bill, no one really knows what it contains, and there are doubts on whether it will stop the page. So already we are doubtful that the bill that is being talked about will be what the employees are aspiring for. But be that as it may, I think there is need to engage the publishers themselves in the media sector and see how best they can come up with other models to cut costs.
Mesa Director Nhlanhla Ngwenya on the line with reporter Tato Mochone from Harare. Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe Republic Police today deployed anti-riot officers at the Harare offices at the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions in a move believed to be linked to the union's bid to lead workers onto the streets to protest continuing job losses in the country. ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo says the union is disturbed by the move. Moyo says they were surprised to find 3 truckloads of heavily armed anti-riot police details parked at the entrance to their building this morning. He adds the government is trying to intimidate ZCTU members and tenants who use the building as well. The police on Saturday violently scuttled a ZCTU demonstration against continued job losses. Studio 7 failed to get a comment from police spokesperson Senior Assistant Commissioner Charity Charamba. But Moyo tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri they have instructed their lawyers to approach the courts seeking the removal of the anti-riot officers from their premises.
This morning we found police officers loitering around our premises. In fact, at one stage, they were parked just in front of the door. The truck was parked in front of our main entrance. But we have been told that during the holidays that they've been doing this, going around the premises all along since the last Saturday. So it would appear like the police never left our premises. They continue to harass us by their presence there, because it does intimidate some of our people. We have people who are renting those premises also. They've got their own customers. Those people are unable to do their work properly because of the presence of heavily armed police officers with their riot gear. So as I speak now, they are not here in front of the door, but they've been there a minute ago, and it's likely that they'll be back again. So they've been around since then.
Did you check with the police why they are at your offices?
Yes, we did inquire because this is a bit unusual. So we wanted to find out their motives, whether we can be of assistance to them. And they said they have information that there are people who want to destabilize the country. They want to use this city name to do their activities. They did not clarify exactly what type of people are those. How do they want to destabilize the country? That's how the guy looked like, an officer, said.
That was ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo in Harare with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kantemiri. The Harare City Council continued to demolish houses today in areas it says residents illegally settled themselves, though the majority of the home seekers bought land through cooperatives linked to ZANU-PF or the so-called land barons. Today in Putiriro, council officials bulldozed houses in Gungunyana, Tembwe and Taputirira. Sandra Nyaira spoke with Carlos Machingura of Putiriro, who explains what he saw today.
No, we just had a lot of noise at around 9 a.m. in the morning. Then I rushed to an area called Ngunyani near the current shops, where I discovered that the bulldozers were already in action, demolishing houses. So as I drew closer, I had an opportunity to confront the DO at the council offices in Budire, where she explained that she was directing the demolition team to target certain houses that were earmarked for demolition. Because apparently the demolition team, sometimes they just demolish willingly, so she had to restrain them from demolishing some of the houses which she claimed were in order. So by the time I left, they had already destroyed houses in an area called Tembwe. They had moved to Ngunguyani. In Ngunguyani, the little information that I had was that they were targeting about 13 houses which were being said to have encroached into a proposed school site. And there were plans for them to move into another adjusting location called Tabudira, where they were planning also to clear some houses. I personally stay in an area just with an extension of Budiro 4. The houses are in here. And that's where we stay under this cooperative called Together as One. So by sunset today, they have not reached our place. But I'm not too sure. Tomorrow morning, we are just living by the grace because we don't know what will transpire tomorrow. But yes, people are having sleepless nights, I'm telling you. Everyone is shivering because many people, they've got families. They just don't know where to go with the children. So it's a very difficult situation.
If you can just explain to me how you ended up getting this land for you to build your houses. Was it overboard or how did you get the land? If you can just explain to us how it happened.
Yeah, personally, in my situation, I went directly to city council offices in Mbare called Remembrance near the ZBC. In around July 24th. That's where I went, and when I reached there, I inquired about wanting to buy a stand. Then they told me that the city council was no longer selling stones, but rather they handed over the task to cooperatives. Then they advised me to join a certain cooperative which they said they had registered. And I was personally driven from Remembrance Drive by a very senior official at Remembrance, Kibudi River, where I was introduced to this cooperative. And they were saying that these were going to be fully developed stones. So I was charged about $6,000. I paid it around 15 July 2012. But up to this day, there is no running water, no sewer. So it seems there was a syndicate. It was the conspiring with the officials from the city council to get people into buying these houses. I mean, these stands, or maybe unregistered stands. So as it stands right now, people are suffering the brunt of this exit between this so-called chairman and the officials from the city council. Because no same person could just move into a certain area without somebody with authority. So it was a conference between council officials and those cooperative chairmen. But now the people are bearing the brunt.
Do you think you are going to recover some of the money that you used to buy this land?
It will be very difficult, my sister, because even if we report to the police, you know, those chairmen, they get arrested, they pay bail, that's the end of it. Like what is happening to this Bomo guy, you know, he just pays bail, that's the end of the story. Those people who lost their money, they won't be refunded. There is no chance, I say, actually, because most of these chairmen have already moved out of this high density area. They have already bought some plush houses in low density areas using this money that way. Siphoned from desperate home seekers. So it's a very serious situation. We are just in a desperate situation.
That was Carlos Machingura on the line from Harare with Studio 7, Sandra Nyaira. The United States government says it is still concerned about the disappearance of activist and leader of Occupy Africa Unity Square, Itai Dzamara, citing apparent lack of progress by authorities in their investigations. In a statement released today, the U.S. Embassy in Zimbabwe says it is joining the European Union in urging the Zimbabwean authorities to investigate the circumstances leading to Dzamara's abduction, bring perpetrators to justice, and return Dzamara, who disappeared 5 months ago, safely to his family and friends. Occupy Africa Unity Square member Charles Nyoni says his organization is pleased with the U.S. Embassy's support and is currently engaging other embassies in Zimbabwe to put pressure on the government to investigate Dzamara's whereabouts.
We are not attention seekers, neither are we just noise makers, but we are people who are advocating for our rights, that may be our rights be respected in this country, because this country is violating our rights. And any other international engagements, be it funding or whatsoever, that is being discussed between other governments and this government, may they please be suspended until this country respects our rights.
In other words, do you still agree with the US and the EU that not enough is being done to investigate this case, or has there been some changes which you have observed?
As far as we know and as far as we are concerned, we agree 100% that nothing whatsoever has been done by the government, not even to show a single icon of remorse that they are at least concerned. They've just issued a press statement in the local paper, but nothing, not even any investigation has been done, save to threaten and keep on arresting us.
Presently, what are you doing about Mr. Dzamara's case? Do you still keep your vigils? What exactly are you doing?
Yes, our vigil, we still keep it. We will not stop, neither will we be stopped by anything. We are still occupying Africa Unity Square, and we are still doing our flash peaceful demos. As long as they're still breathing us, we'll continue doing that. We are also getting in touch and writing to embassies, seeking appointments and meetings that we explain our position and invite whatever form of assistance and encouragement that we can get from different embassies in this country.
That was Africa Unity Square member Charles Nyoni on the line with Studio 7 from Harare.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metom Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
on the internet. Find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, Chris Gande looks at the issue of arts in the diaspora. But first, a look at regional and international news. A white police officer near Dallas, Texas, in the United States, has been dismissed from the force after shooting and killing an unarmed black college student last week. Will Johnson, the chief of police in the suburban city of Arlington, announced today that Officer Brad Miller had been fired for making a series of mistakes in the shooting of 19-year-old Christian Taylor that caused an environment of cascading consequences. Miller, who had been on the Arlington police force for less than a year, was responding to a suspected burglar early last Friday at a local car dealership. China has allowed the value of its currency to drop for a second consecutive day, repeating a surprise move today that rattled global markets and could raise tensions with its trade competitors. The Chinese yuan's value fell 1.6% Wednesday, after falling nearly 2% a day earlier, which was its biggest single-day drop in a decade. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has ordered the execution of his vice premier, according to a South Korean news report, in the latest alleged purge of senior leadership. Citing an unnamed source with knowledge of the North, the Yonhap news agency said Vice Premier Cho Yong-gun was killed by firing squad in May after expressing displeasure with Kim's forestry policies. Zimbabweans in the United States say the Zimbabwe Diaspora Arts Festival that was launched last week will help them build partnerships with other Africans in the U.S. Convener of the festival, Tsitsi Matsongwe, tells Studio 7's Chris Gande they expect a bigger and more vibrant event next year.
One of our main goals was to build partnerships between the Zimbabwean diaspora community here in America and the artists back in Zimbabwe. A few years back ago, I went to visit Zimbabwe and I stayed there for a good 6 months and I got an opportunity to interact with the artists there. And so that's when this idea of a diaspora arts festival was birthed.
We noticed that your festival did not have only Zimbabweans, there were also other people from other nationalities. Can you tell us exactly why, and also why you name it as the Zimbabwe Diaspora Festival when you have all these other people?
Like I said earlier on, one of our main purposes was to foster our culture as Zimbabweans. People in this diaspora area, particularly in the Maryland area, are not familiar with our country, and I thought that it was critical that people know who we are as a people. People know our traditions and our way of life, and also at the same time create a quality of life for the other artists from different parts of Africa. We're all one Africa. We share the same traditions pretty much, and most of our programs are inclusive and diverse, and that is why we are trying to build a broader platform, not only for Zimbabweans, but other African nations as well. And we feel that by being inclusive, we have much more greater opportunity for our artists here at home in America as well as at home in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, so in a nutshell, what can you say about the festival? Can you say it was a success?
Well, this was our first festival. I would like to say that it was good, but not great. There are a lot of things. We're at our infancy stage at this time. As you can tell that, as you know, it was our first annual festival. So as we go along, there are a lot of things and a lot of changes that we're going to input into the structure to make it even better. I'd like to say, you know, from a selfish point of view, yes, it was successful. I'm a very goal-oriented person and I'm a very ambitious person. So I would say good instead of great.
So what can you say are the weaknesses that you're going to obviously improve on next time?
One of the main drawbacks I think we had was the location. And I don't think we had enough aggressive marketing, an aggressive marketing strategy. I think once we find a better location and publicize it more and inform the community more about it, then as we go on, I think we're going to grow.
That was Tsitsi Matsongwe, convener of the Zimbabwe Diaspora Festival. The 2015 International Youth Day took a social media spin this year, with the youth and officials utilizing digital media to endorse this year's theme of civic engagement. The United Nations hosted day-long interactive panels featuring young people, youth organizations, member states' representatives, civil society, media, and United Nations entities to discuss the theme while utilizing social media for its International Youth Day digital surge. The digital surge was featured on Twitter, with young people using the hashtag YouthDay to share their stories, feature reports on youth civic and public participation, and share ways for others to get involved. Meanwhile, the African Union, on its second day of youth commemorations today, hosted a Twitter chat with African Union Commission Chairperson Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, where she answered tweeted questions over a live stream. The Twitter chat touched on various issues from engagement, jobs, education, and the youth's role in the future of Africa. Let's listen to part of what Dlamini-Zuma said today as she spoke of her civic engagement during her time at university in South Africa as a youth.
As part of our civic work when we were at university, amongst other things, during holidays, we used to go out to communities, for instance, that didn't have water, and do boreholes. I'm at home chilling, spend them working together to help communities. And when I was a medical student, every Saturday we used to go out to communities to do literacy training, because there were lots of people in South Africa who couldn't read and write, and also help students who were doing maths, who were struggling in their clinics. So we used to go and help communities that didn't have doctors. As medical students, we would go there and use our spare time.
African Union Commission Chairperson Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma. Back home in Zimbabwe, youth organizations also held interactive panels with young people discussing their role in civic engagement. Reporter Tatenda Kombo spoke with Zimbabwe United Nations Association Youth President Makleo Mafumo on his take on Youth Day.
This is the time for the youth to take that leading role in these initiatives, so that when we get in the next 15 years, when we get maybe to the 2063, I'll be able to comment to what I managed to say now.
Looking at the young people that you are working with day to day, what are you guys doing on the ground in Zimbabwe to promote civic engagement?
What we are trying to do as Zimbabwe United Nations Association is to try to involve the government in most of the UN topical issues and to let us, the youth, take that leading role. If we are going to organize an event in regards to the youth civic engagement, let us, the youth, take that leading role. But, however, we need the guidance maybe from the elders here and there. But most of the things that we are pushing for is for youth representation in various government departments. We look at the youth ministry. I think, personally, that ministry should be youth led, so that we can understand the concerns of the youth much better.
There was a lot of mention and inspiring posts today online on social media. Can you give our listeners some takes of what young people can do to be part of this movement?
I think what we are supposed to do maybe as well is to come out of the vacuum that we have been living. You know, we look at many countries, they've done the issues of cleanup campaigns. Some have even organized sports tournaments where they've also engaged the relevant ministers, and they've been participating in sporting activities. Some have done musical concerts. A lot of stuff has been going on in regards to this day.
That was United Nations Youth President Makleo Mafumo speaking on the line in Harare. And now an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
According to human rights organizations and Chinese activists, in recent weeks, Chinese authorities have systematically detained, arrested, subjected to forced disappearance, held incommunicado, or questioned and released 169 lawyers, legal staff, and activists involved in peacefully challenging official policies in China. Chinese authorities detained lawyers from several law firms, including six from the Beijing Feng Rei firm. The Feng Rei law firm handled a number of high-profile human rights cases, including the case of jailed Uyghur scholar Ilham Tohati. The crackdown began on July 9th when Feng Rei lawyer Wang Yu disappeared after alerting friends via a text message that her internet connection and electricity had been cut off and that people were trying to break into her home. Wang had represented several clients involved in human rights activism or religious freedom issues, including practitioners of Falun Gong, a religious group banned in China. The firm's director, Zhu Shifeng, was also detained. He had represented Zhang Miao, a Chinese journalist who'd reported on the Hong Kong democracy protests. Among those who have not been heard from since being detained is well-known lawyer Lu Heping. He represented fellow lawyer and blind activist Chen Guangcheng and helped victims of forced evictions. The United States is deeply concerned that the broad scope of China's new national security law is being used as a legal facade to commit human rights abuses. The U.S. strongly urges China to respect the rights of all its citizens and to release all those who have recently been detained for seeking to protect the rights of Chinese citizens.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be leading discussions about continuing job losses with the Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation, firing over 200 people today. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios. Now, to recap today's top stories. The state-owned Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation fires close to 300 workers, including journalists, and shut down Iskweru offices that house the Voice of Zimbabwe radio station. Zimbabwe Republic Police deploys anti-riot officers at the Harare offices of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions in a move the ZCTU believes is meant to intimidate them from organizing street protests. And the Harare City Council continues to demolish houses it says were constructed illegally. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Sithandekile Mhlanga in Washington.